Welcome, Black Hollywood Live fans. On today's episode of Fit Club, we talk men having mastectomies and the best food for your age. Stay tuned for more.
You're tuned into Black Hollywood Live, Fit Club.
Wait, we're supposed to stay still. Oh, yeah, it's the right. Mannequin challenge. We killed it. All right. All right, you guys, welcome to Fit Club, and we are back, me and Shaka in the house. The last episode before we go on a little hiatus, so we're going to give you some good information. I'm your host, Fallon Mercedes. You guys can find me online at Fit with Fallon. Where can they find you, Shaka?
You can find me at Shaka Strong on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat.
And right now I'm going to tweet out the live link, so any of you listening, if you want to switch over and view us live, you can now. All right, so we have quite the interesting stories, especially our first two. So our first one, I guess there's a rise in men who are having double mastectomies. So for those of you who don't know that what that is, it's when most of the time you have breast cancer in one breast and you decide to have the other one removed as well through surgery for whatever reasons. You're scared. It's going to spread, or most times you have a genetic a gene found that carries the cancer cells, and most likely those who have that gene will get it in the other breast. So you get
BRCA
it removed.
One, BRCA 1 or BRCA 2, which I believe Angelina Jolie had come out against, because she actually had the genetic mutation. So she went ahead and did the mastectomy.
And what's interesting about her is that she did not have breast cancer.
No,
And she decided to remove her breast anyways.
Yeah, because her mom had suffered from it, and she already saw what had happened, and she knew she had the mutation. What was interesting was that double mastectomies, doing it because of the fear of it spreading to the other breast, typically don't really help. So that's what I found surprising. So most people are doing it out of fear, but the science has borne out that unless you have those genetic mutations, there's no evidence to show that you're going to be more likely to get it in the other breast.
And this is what I think what's happening. I think a lot of both men and women are actually getting the genetic test. I think in the past, the testing wasn't done as much, and now people are being proactive. Like Angelina, if you know your mom has it, if your dad has the gene, you go and get tested. And you kind of save yourself that headache.
Yeah, and then, but for men, well, you would assume it might be the same for men, but they actually haven't done enough studies to show whether or not having that mutation would lead to another incidence of cancer in the other breast. So,
and it's just crazy, and call me, I don't know if you would say biased, but I still, to this day, it's a hard for me to fathom men getting breast cancer because you don't see much breast tissue in there. So you don't think that the tumor or the cancer will form in the breast, but it's on the rise even more now than it was years ago. Do you think, after all the research that we've done, Shaka, on this show, that it is due to the food that we're consuming, different medications that we're eating, the animal products that we're...
I think you'll see a rise in cancer due to the fact that we're having these foods that are contaminated, and, you know, we're such a drug culture now as well, Medicaid and prescription drugs. So you see a lot of instances of cancers and sickness in general. So it doesn't surprise me. But at the same time, we're also getting better at diagnosing stuff. So I think you'll find that we'll still have high life expectancies. But this was the first time our life expectancy has lowered in the United States. So I don't think it's any surprise given the way we're eating and the way things are going.
Yeah, all that fast food, everything.
Yeah.
I found another interesting story. Both teenage boys and men are suing a drug that made them grow breasts. And I'll never forget this one instance when I was younger. I remember going swimming. And it was a group of us, and one of the teenage boys, he had taken off his shirt, and he had bigger boobs than all of us girls. And we're looking at him like, this is so bizarre. And I didn't know what this was. I was like, is he really a girl? But he was physically a boy. And now when I was doing this research study, I found that it's called
gynecomastia. Yeah.
How do you pronounce it?
Gynecomastia.
Gynecomastia.
And so when I was about 14 or 15, I started to develop it a little bit. And so I went to the doctor and I said, what's going on? And when you're going through puberty, males will develop it. But for most males, it'll subside.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, this story that we're reading today, it's showing that there is... is this pill, a medication for anxiety and the bipolar disorder that a lot of teens and men are using, that it's having a reverse effect, a side effect, yeah, which causing them to grow breasts. Yeah. And now they're suing Johnson & Johnson, that's the company that's making this product, saying that they intentionally knew what the medication was capable of. Yes, it does help with the mental illness, bipolar and anxiety. However, they withheld that information and directly targeted especially teen boys, yeah, to use the medication, knowing that it would grow breasts. And a lot of boys, now this medication came on the market 10, 20 years ago. Yeah. So now they're really seeing, you know, yeah, what
the
it's done.
The long-term effects.
But,
yeah,
you know, a lot of depression, a lot of bullying, a lot of shaming these boys have went through who weren't on the medication.
And a lot of times gynecomastia, if it doesn't go away on its own, you have to get it surgically removed. So it's not, you know, it's no small thing.
And the insurance companies, a lot of them are not covering it. Yeah. So there's a couple of you know, men who use this medication when they were teenagers who still have their breasts,
oh, wow,
because they couldn't afford to get it removed. Yeah. So do you think it's fair for these different patients to sue the company?
Yeah, certainly. That's why, you know, you can't...
If you guys don't know, Shocker is a lawyer by day, Fit Club host at night.
Because, you know, that's why we watch these ads and we kind of laugh at them, because after they tell you what it's for, then they give you the long list of things that the side effects it could cause. Mm-hmm. Some are way worse than the problem you're trying to address.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to disclose to the consumer, especially when it's a medication. And, you know, we're unsophisticated. We're not doctors. You know, we're not researchers. So we need to be told what we're having and, you know, what the possible effects are, and to be fully aware of the dangers when we take on that risk. So certainly, you know, hopefully they'll get some sort of justice in this suit.
Yeah, so far they have been sued for $2 billion with over 13,000 victims.
Wow.
Yeah, it's sad. All right. We have a recall. More recalls on different,
yeah,
products. Last week we were talking about chicken recall.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about powdered milk. And if you think you're safe because you're not a grandma and you're not drinking powdered milk, you are not. There's so many different products that contain powdered milk, including waffle mix, kettle chips, mac and cheese, monkey bread, crepe mix, and you're thinking, how can that be?
Kettle chips, chips,
yes,
chips. Like, why are there? You
know. It's because they use the powdered milk for the different flavoring of, like, the cheese.
Yeah, no,
like,
I've had barbecue chips that they had powdered milk in there.
Oh, did
and
it?
Oh,
wow.
Like, why would there be, you know? That's what surprised me. When I went vegan, that was one of the biggest things that surprised, mm-hmm, me. I didn't realize how many things I couldn't have because randomly there was just powdered milk or whey in there, you know?
Yeah, they put it in everything.
Yeah.
But the reason why they are having a recall on this product or these different products is because there is salmonella poisoning. So in the past week, 8 recalls have been distributed, containing different, possible issues of salmonella found in the products. But no one has reported getting sick as of yet. But exposures to salmonella can cause diarrhea, cramps, fever. Surprisingly, it wasn't as severe as I thought it would be. However, if you have a compromised immune system,
yeah,
you know, if you have cancer, if you have any type of disease, you know, then it does,
yeah,
become,
yeah,
more severe. I actually, and I said this, I think, on last show, I had salmonella poisoning, but I was a child.
Yeah.
So I was in the hospital for 2 weeks because my system couldn't
system wasn't,
fight it.
Yeah, fight,
yeah,
it off.
And I'm thinking right now, I can't even count how many times I've ate something that really tore my stomach up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I wonder if that is a product that could have been contaminated with salmonella or,
yeah,
you know,
you
whatever.
To, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And now you just don't know, but you have to, you know, do your best. And hopefully if you eat well, then you won't have to really worry too much about these things.
Well, yeah. Speaking of worrying, how much money you make is, I guess, through these studies, is linked directly to how much stress you have. Mm-hmm. And I thought in the past, or just, you know, working for different companies and seeing different CEOs, how busy they were, how stressed they were, I was always under the assumption that the more money you make, like Biggie says, the more problems you have.
Yeah.
But this study is kind of the direct opposite, saying, can money really buy happiness? And it says, well, according to this different study, it technically can. It says people who make more money have less stress and a longer life. Higher income Americans are twice as likely to report being in good health than lower income counterparts. However, all income levels show higher stress levels compared to four decades ago, which is interesting. So although you might be at the top of the ladder, you might seem less stressed, but four decades ago, we were not as stressed.
We're all
getting more stressed, no matter what the bracket is.
Yeah, I think we're all working more. I think we're living in a kind of a 24/7 society. Mm-hmm. Your phone's at your hip, and now people can reach you at all times. There's mm-hmm. not that kind of downtime to unplug to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
But that was really interesting, because I could have told you money buys you happiness. I could tell you that right away, you know?
Well, I don't know. It's like when you have less responsibility. But this is, and I think we always talk about this. I think this study probably correlates to when you have more money, you have more access to, you know, working out and getting certain types of foods. And, you know, if you live in a lower income neighborhood, you might have only access to 7-Eleven.
And I would say that I think a lot of people do have access, but it's more work. It's just a lot more work.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to be vegan, can you do that and do it on the cheap and do it every day? Yeah, but it's more work. But if you have money, you can hire a meal delivery.
Exactly.
So once your health improves, you're just gonna be naturally happier. So once you're improving different aspects of your life because of the money,
mm-hmm.
you'll be a naturally happier person.
It's funny though. Although I guess more money, less stress, all across the board, obesity has risen.
Yeah.
No matter what income bracket you are in.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's just that's culture. That's culture. You know?
Yeah. And I wonder. I mean, this study was just done in the U.S. I wonder in different countries how would it be.
Yeah, I don't know, because I have a friend that did a study on soap operas
mm-hmm.
and what people were viewing. And in the United States, for soap operas, we like to watch the wealthy. We just like to watch the wealthy. I think it was in England, they like to watch the working class.
Mm.
And in Australia, they like to watch the middle class.
Uh-huh.
And so I think that speaks to how we view money and how it shapes our perception of the society we're living in.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Yeah. I never would have thought of that. Well, maybe I watch novellas, and they do both. They like to watch rich people, but then they like to watch, you know, the girl scrubbing the floors who marries the rich man and stuff like that. In India, we have, is it India? I think so. No, Egypt. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So she's going to travel to India. So I found this interesting story. The world's heaviest woman is in Egypt, and her name is Iman Ahmed. She is 1,102 pounds.
Yeah.
So 1,100 pounds, basically. Now, the Guinness World Book of Records for the USA, the heaviest woman stands at 643 pounds. So she is basically double that.
Yeah.
And right now there is this, I guess, social media campaign where this surgeon from India,
Egypt,
I'm sorry, I'm getting them confused. Mm. Egypt, he is trying to raise, or he did have a fundraiser to raise enough money for her to go over and get the surgery because she basically is a ticking time bomb. And actually a couple years ago, she had a stroke and currently is no longer able to communicate verbally or even move because the stroke affected her that much, along with her massive weight gain. But it's interesting because her family was interviewed, and when she was a child, she was born at 11 pounds, and ever since then, she had thyroid issues.
Uh-huh.
And even at, I think, what age? At 11 years old, she stopped going to school and even stopped walking because she was becoming very overweight and she was so lethargic from having the thyroid issues. Do you think, if a child is born with thyroid issues, do you blame that on genetics or do you blame that on what, I guess, the mother was eating while she was pregnant?
I would have to know the exact, I have to know to what degree the thyroid was, was damaged or genetic, there was some sort of genetic problem there. But typically I would say I blame it on, that the parenting and the food and, and sometimes the parents themselves don't know better. And that's a problem. For her, this might be a genetic problem that, is outside of the control of food because I don't understand if you can't move, how is she still eating?
Yeah.
So, are people enabling her? Is that what's happening? Or is that she's eating very little, but she's still overweight?
Well, I think it's a both. The thyroid issue. Yeah. I know whenever I get clients who have thyroid issues, not that I don't want to train them, but I advise them if you want to see results, you need to first go to your doctor and get on the right medication because it's going to be very discouraging for you to, put in the work, eating clean and working out consistently and not seeing the work. So the first thing I say is make sure you're seeing your doctor, getting on the right medication, make sure your levels are good because I don't want your money and your time.
Yeah, for no result.
Yeah. And I find it interesting, too, where I've seen people, clients who their thyroids, they'll get them checked and they're fine. And then 6-7 months later, they plummet.
Yeah.
And again, I feel like personally, a lot of it is the food.
Yeah. And yeah, sometimes your food can cause the thyroid issues too. So I would think with her that her family might be enabling her or whomever is bringing her food because if you can't move, there's no way you should be not losing weight really if people are being responsible around you.
It's probably just everything, all of it put together. But thinking of a different country too, I guess I just think in America, we're the only ones who really eat unhealthy.
Yeah.
But I wonder in these different countries.
Well, I think our problem is processed food. But, the way people eat in different countries, a lot of these countries are pretty well developed. We think of the people going out to farms, but they have KFCs and they have McDonald's.
Yeah.
So they have a lot of these things too, these fast foods.
So I think this is why we're starting to see these issues in different countries. Yeah, I know
we're
America,
spreading our American fast food ways to the world.
I know before America was the number one fattest country in the world, and now it's Mexico.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Very interesting. Wow. So let's not eat unhealthy food anymore. So I want to say thank you to Shaka and Garden of Life. Tell me more about this product that you brought in for me that I'm so excited to try.
Well, I love it. It's our Marley Coffee, our high protein for weight loss. And so it actually has some black green coffee bean extract in the protein.
Nice.
So you're getting your protein you need to feed your muscles, and you're also jacking your metabolism so you can
keep slim. And what does it taste like?
It tastes good. It tastes like coffee.
Yeah. Nice. I'm going to have to shake this up. All right. So we're going to just chat. Kind of talk about, I guess, what we've come away from, Fit Club and this season of the show. I feel like I have, and I told you this behind the scenes before we got on air tonight, I am scared to eat anything after all these these studies. It's really making me more conscious of what I'm eating. And like, I thank you for bringing this stuff in because I go into my cabinet and I'm like looking at ingredients and I'm like, I don't want to eat anything.
Yeah,
I don't want to have any of these issues that we read about and study about.
Yeah, doing a show like this, it really you think because you're reading the details of a lot of the stuff that we're eating. But you have to have balance too, and you have to know that you can find some good stuff and positive stuff, and then you have to know there's some stuff you just can't escape at all, and be somewhat okay with it. But yeah, it's tough when you read these stories and you find out so much around you is shaping you, and whether food affects your emotion and it's affecting your relationship, and so you got to figure. It's helping me figure it out for myself first, and then move forward.
Yeah. Are you doing anything differently now that you're, I guess, more consciously aware?
I would just say kind of sticking more to the rules I had before, just making sure I'm eating extra clean. I want to have that processed food. I'm going to reach for the grapes even more now, So I'm just doing the habits I've employed before, but to a greater level.
Yeah. I think if anything, the show also makes me want to make other people aware other than just being on air. Yeah. I find myself, while I'm researching the topics that I'm going to talk about on air, I'm talking about those topics with my coworkers. Yeah. I'm talking about it with my roommate, friends, everybody. And it's just, it's very eye-opening to see how many people are not informed.
Yeah.
So those of you out there, please, 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 you know, the information that you take from here, we want you to keep it for yourself, but please spread the info to other people or share a link to our podcast or our YouTube channel. We want to get as many people informed as possible. This is the reason why Shaka and I kind of joined together and do this and do the show, because we have such a love for fitness. I was even speaking to Shaka about, I just found out my aunt had a heart attack, and she's in her 50s, pretty young, and she literally coded, and they had to use the paddles 6 times to get her back. And thank God, you know, we have her back. But the first thing she said is, I need to stop smoking and I need to start eating clean. And she was like, Fallon, you keep on doing what you're doing. I never want this to happen to you. And I see so many people in my family. My uncle's wife, she was in her 40s. She had a heart attack. My uncle, another uncle, he in his 50s had a heart attack. It's just, it's out of control. And I know it's lifestyle. And, you know, some of it is hereditary. Sometimes high blood pressure does run up in the family. But I think we need to be extra cautious. Go get tested.
And we have to own what we're doing. And that's why I do this show. It's for that moment right there. After she said, okay, now I want to eat clean. I do the show so that you have that moment before you have the heart attack. You have that moment well before that. Because what I've noticed with people that, you know, have gotten diseases that they've attributed to bad things they've done in their past, they always go, once you get the diagnosis, you would have easily given up that habit. It just something switches. And so I'm hoping that we can get that message out, that people have that switch well before.
Exactly. Even when you and I would watch Biggest Loser, you know, it took them gaining massive amounts of weight or something happening tragically for them to get on the show. And it's like, we don't want you to go to that extreme. You know, we want you to take it in your own hands and not hope to get on a TV show to save your life.
And especially now, because it's a problem. These weren't exceptions on the show. You know, America's getting fatter and fatter, and unfortunately obesity it impacts everything. Productivity, our kids are getting fatter. So when people and their health are at risk, then, you know, what's happening for, like, the lifeblood of the country, really? You know, people are at work less, they're not working as hard, you know. So it just really affects all different parts. The family gets weaker too, you know.
And I know we live in California, where we are so active and we're more health conscious. I imagine, I know when I even go back home to Massachusetts, I'm like, all right, let's go work out, and everybody's like, so hopefully the whole country will start becoming more awake and aware.
We get a little bit insulated from it because we're out here, you know, but there are things that are promulgated by different food industries and different drug companies that are not good for people in general. And we're kind of like aware of stuff in California because we're a little bit more new agey, I suppose. But, you know, it's just good to get that information out there, and hopefully people can decide for themselves.
So going into the new year, we're going to take our break. I want you guys out there and even us to start thinking of, what are our health and fitness New Year's resolutions? Shaka, have you thought about them? Do you have any?
I about 2 weeks ago, I said I want to have no health and fitness resolutions. So I've been working out like two days.
Good for you.
I was like, I want to go into January 1st going, well,
I'm already there.
Just more of the same. More of the same.
For me, I want to try out being a vegan for a little while. I know I've been saying that. So hopefully when we get back on the show, I will do my 30-day challenge. You guys will join in with me.
I'll tell you, you're going to notice the energy levels go through the roof.
That's what I need. I definitely need more energy. And I also want to push myself and do that fitness competition that I've been talking about that I haven't done.
Get you on stage.
I think those would be two of my goals. And just to continue to do what I do every day, wake up and just try to be a better, you know, me and live what I preach. I think so often, you know, sometimes I don't do that as best I can.
Same here. You know, we're all guilty of it. Sometimes you know better than what you're actually doing. But by saying it and talking about it and telling people to do it, I start to do it even more so. You know, so it helps all around. It's like we're growing together as a community.
Yeah, we are. You guys out there, let us know if you have any health and fitness goals. And if you don't, what do you just want in general for, you know, a better lifestyle and to become more healthy? We appreciate you guys watching our show. Please rate us 5 stars, yeah. Subscribe. If you want to hear any certain things or topics researched for our next show when we come back, let us know. We'll start digging away. If you want us to have any, guests on the show that you want to know more about them and what they do health and fitness wise, let us know. And
we have some exciting guests in the New Year, so we're going to keep it under wraps for now, but we have a lot of exciting guests for the
New Year. It's going to be good, and yeah. I have a feeling me and Shaka are going to be working more together to bring something to you, hopefully, a little...
A little project.
But again, thank you so much for always tuning in. We appreciate you, and we hope that you have a happy holiday and a happy new year, and we'll see you guys when we are back. Yeah. You guys can continue to reach out to me online at fitwithfallon.com or at fitwithfallon on social media. Where can they find you?
And you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Shaka Strong.
All right, we'll see you guys next year.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio. Instagram me at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.